In the spring of the following year, 1632, the Swedes were on the march again. Gustavus Adolphus invaded Bavaria and plundered it from end to end. Indeed, General Tilly himself, the general of the Catholic League, was defeated and killed at a battle on the frontier between Swabia and Bavaria in April of 1632. And on the 17th of May, 1632, there was a striking development. Gustavus Adolphus, accompanied by none other than Frederick V of the Palatinate, made a triumphal entry into Munich, the capital of the arch-Catholic Duke Maximilian. There was now, fairly clearly, only one way to save the Habsburg cause. In April of 1632, Albrecht von Wallenstein was recalled from Bohemia and given extensive powers to create a new imperial army. Wallenstein moved fairly shrewdly. Rather than engage the Swedes in a direct open battle, he entrenched himself outside the city of Nuremberg, or Nürnberg as it's called in German, in a fortress called the Alte Feste, which just means the Old Fort. And he shrewdly drew Gustavus Adolphus into a long, wearying siege, which neutralized any Swedish advantages in mobility or musketry. The Swedes suffered heavy casualties in a series of completely fruitless assaults on the fortifications and eventually withdrew. Wallenstein then recaptured Prague and ejected the Saxons from Bohemia. But at this point, he made an error. It was late in the year, it was November, he assumed that the campaigning season was over. Most early modern armies, at least in the 17th century, didn't fight in the winter. So he dispatched his troops to winter quarters. Shortly thereafter, he got a message. The Swedes had turned around and were coming after him. He recalled his troops as quickly as he could, but nonetheless, he didn't have them all with him at the battle which then ensued. And since the forces were nearly even, when they clashed outside the town of Lützen in November of 1632, the battle was spectacularly destructive. There are arguments over who won the Battle of Lützen. It seems to me it's sort of a sterile dispute over who held which patch of ground at the end of it. It was more or less a draw. Both armies were exhausted. But rather more crucial was the fact that Gustavus Adolphus had himself been killed in a cavalry clash during the battle. He lost himself riding around the battlefield. He lost his way in the gun smoke. He ran into a troop of Imperial cavalry, and as soon as they recognized him, they promptly killed him. Now, the fact that Lützen was a drawn battle, I think, is really quite significant. If the Swedes had won a decisive victory, the Habsburg cause would have been finished. If the Habsburgs, on the other hand, if Wallenstein had completely defeated the Swedes, it would have really meant a triumph for the Habsburgs. As it was now, both sides were more or less even, and this had two very unfortunate consequences for the long-suffering civilian population of Germany. First of all, it just prolonged the war. It led to a kind of deadlock which lasted up to 10 years, depending on how you want to measure it. And moreover, it widened the war. Since neither side was able to achieve peace on its terms with the resources at its disposal, both sides sought to enlist more foreign support in the hope of gaining the upper hand. I'd now like to review the last couple of years of the mid-1630s and start at least with Sweden. Once Gustavus Adolphus had been killed, Sweden moved into a regency government during the minority of Queen Christina. Queen Christina is herself a kind of interesting character. She was interested in modern philosophy. She corresponded with Descartes. Apparently she could swear like a trooper. She was a bit less decorous than the presentation you get in that old movie with Greta Garbo. And ultimately she decided she wanted to make her own religious choices and converted to Catholicism and went off to live in the Mediterranean south. But for our purposes, Swedish foreign policy in this period, while Christina was still a child, was directed by Gustavus Adolphus's able chancellor, Axel Oxenstierna. After the Battle of Lützen in 1632, Oxenstierna began to look for ways to disengage from the empire. But disengage didn't mean just simply packing up, folding up one's tents and running away. Instead, the chancellor set his sights on two fairly pragmatic goals. And in this regard, it seems to me he was rather like Gustavus Adolphus himself, whose ultimate aims, to the extent that we can reconstruct them, were basically pragmatic. The first main goal was the establishment of a permanent Swedish presence on the North German coast, in Pomerania and Prussia, in order to secure the Baltic against both Poland on the one hand and the Holy Roman Emperor on the other hand. The second main goal was the organization of some confederation of friendly German princes in the center of Germany to serve as a kind of buffer in case of future imperial aggression. Now, the cost of this kind of military establishment was enormous, and Sweden knew that it couldn't be borne by Sweden alone. And Oxenstierna therefore resolved, fairly rationally, and although albeit somewhat cold-bloodedly, to shift the burden of the army onto the shoulders of others. And in the spring of 1633, therefore, Oxenstierna established a kind of puppet league of smaller Protestant states of western and southern Germany. It's usually called the Heilbronn League. The Heilbronn League officially was going to fight to restore the imperial constitution and the rights of the Protestant states, and also to achieve appropriate compensation, both territorial and monetary, for the Swedish crown.